Sure don't want a beer, big dog?
I'll take one.
There you go.
Oh, here we go.
I like it. That's character.
Nice crack.
I like that.
I don't know. They could cage match it in there.
Is Gunner a chocolate lab?
He is a English Bulldog German Shepherd.
What?
Yeah,
what the fuck?
Well, it kind of looks like a.
What
looks
the
like
fuck
a,
does that look like?
He looks like a German Shepherd with Down syndrome.
My phone's up.
Excuse me.
He just has sad eyes sometimes.
I was just talking about the big face.
That is a unique combo.
He's a big fan of the bars.
What's up, everybody? This is the Diesel Daddy Podcast, and I got a gang of retards here with me today. So I was going to let everybody introduce themselves. YouTube, I'd like to hear both of you guys' story on here, too. So this is obviously Big Nicky Dicky over here. And to my right, I have Mr. Tom Cavanaugh. Absolutely nobody knows who this man is, probably for a good reason, but he is one of my best friends.
I try to keep it that way.
All right. So he's a drinking partner and a great lover.
Gentle but thorough.
He might as well have just said he makes a great little spoon.
I do like you. Little spoons, it's where it's at. It really is.
No, well, it's harder for me because I'm fucking tiny, so I can't reach around. Which has been a real obstacle in our relationship. But anyways, then we got Allison back here. Say hello, Allison.
What's up?
And why don't you guys introduce yourselves and what you do and, you know, yeah, I'd love to get everybody on here.
Man, I'm Devin, owner of Cherokee County Record Service, Tahlequah.
I'm Carrie Gordon. I'm his wife.
Okay, well, what do you do, Carrie?
I'm a reporter.
Awesome. So how long have you been doing this tow business for?
16 years.
16 years, man. So how did you come about starting that?
Man, I hate to even tell you the truth, but I was a real estate appraiser.
Okay.
2008, everything crashed.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I didn't want to work for somebody else, so I didn't care what I did. And then had an opportunity to buy a truck, didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing. Bought it and went, dude. It's worked.
So how did you start networking that? Did you have any towing experience at all?
None whatsoever. Didn't have a clue.
So what would make you want to buy a tow truck?
Just didn't want to work for somebody else, man.
I like stealing other people's stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so how did you start like doing repos?
Man, I got on the rotation list. I figured out what it took to get on the police rotation list, and I knew that was automatic work. And I just kind of figured it out from there, really, honestly.
So I had when I first started my car dealership, I had I was doing buy here, pay here. So I did like all my own repos starting out.
That's good stuff.
You know, and I didn't even realize that there were people out there that actually did repossessions for money. So when I sold a vehicle, I would get an extra key made. And when they didn't pay me, I'd just sneak on their property and start it up and drive off. And, you know, there's really, when you get older, there's not much real thrill to life anymore. And I'll tell you what, man, that just made me get up and go. It was a lot of fun just being able to legally steal someone's car out of their driveway.
It's like GTA in real life.
It's good stuff.
When the, you know, the paperwork's in your favor, you know, it's easy to...
Yeah, so you still some crazy things happen, man. You've probably done a way more repos than I have. So what are some wild ones you've had to go through?
So okay, I'm in the middle of nowhere, out in Marble City.
Oh God,
where's Marble City at?
Explain Marble City.
Delaware County?
No.
Is that here in Oklahoma?
No, it's right down the road.
Yeah, it's Sequoia County, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I see this guy's truck in the backyard of this house. I'm thinking, okay. So there's an old lady that answers the door, and she sits there and talks to me for like an hour, telling me that it's her son's truck, and he's not there, and he'll be here anytime. And finally, she agrees that the sun's going down, and she agrees. She's like, I'll let you in my backyard to get it. So there's a maze of trees. You got to get this big-ass record truck through. Get back there, get backed up to the truck, get hooked to it, and here comes this motherfucker out of the house ready to fight. He's been there the whole time.
Why let you get to that point before he comes out to say anything instead of just, you know,
Mom is a great staller. Like, she was really putting out the moves.
Yeah. But, you know, I left with the truck, and they gave me a couch. So it was a good deal.
Did you
deal.
Take that in the same
hall?
I threw the couch in the back of the truck. And
wait, where did the conversation about the couch come in? Did you just say, like, hey, I like that couch. Hey, can I have
you
it?
You guys getting rid of that couch?
She had a couch on her porch, and she's like, you can have this couch, too, if you want it. By the time I was leaving.
Sounds like a bribe.
I mean, there's some interesting ways you could get a tip, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Do you still have this couch?
No, I do not have the couch. I gave it away the same night, though.
I had a...
Couch's currency is a new one for me.
new bartering currency. System.
So, I mean, there was one repo I was doing. This was when I was still doing, just doing it by myself, well, in a partner that I had. But we were still had printing keys and just chasing these people down. And we did like five repos this night. We were working all night. And we get out this place way out in Missouri. And we finally find this little BMW we've been looking for. And the car's like dead. Like he overheated or something. We're trying to get it started. He comes out and we're taking this guy's car. So it's an uncomfortable situation. If you've been in anything like this before, it's uncomfortable. My partner was like, hey, he looks at this guy's like, hey, man, do you mind if I go inside and use your bathroom? And he goes into this, the guy's like, okay, yeah, I guess. And my friend just goes inside to this guy's house at like 2 in the morning, and his family and kids are in there, and just blows it up for like 20 minutes. And I'm just outside. I was waiting on him, and he comes in, and then we hop in the car and we go. And that was a weird one. I've had to kick people.
You don't say.
That's like. Kick right in the crotch. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm taking your car and I'm leaving a deposit. So, yeah.
Dropped a booty bomb.
Yeah. But now I've had to repo people that were sleeping in the car. You know, I've had to do that. That was tough.
Awful.
I wouldn't have done it if the guy wasn't such a piece of shit to me. You know, there's so, like, I'm sure you know, in this business, these people will just run, lie, cheat, and steal. And it's hard to feel sorry for them at some point, you know. So how has that been for you? You know, I know you've had to, especially starting out a business. Did you do it like all by yourself, or did you have investor money, or
I did it all by myself, man.
So you really bootstrapped it. So how has that come up for you, getting things going?
It was all right. You know, there were some challenging times, and there were some times where I was a good breakdown away from being out of business. You know, it's there's scary stuff.
Yeah, if you're not on the verge of bankruptcy at least once a year, I mean. Are you even in business?
Are you even trying that hard?
No. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, how many trucks do you have now?
Two
trucks. So, you just have one other guy working for you?
I don't, one of them's not even running right now. I mean, I'm not using it right now.
So, are you
now,
running the whole business by yourself?
Yeah, currently.
Man, it's tough. Why don't you hire somebody, man?
Yeah, one of these days.
You just like driving?
Yeah.
One of these days. Where do you get the majority of your business now?
Guys like you. Buy here, pay here, car.
Well, hey, I'm not that guy anymore.
You're not here at Truck Country.
Yeah. You won't use me, but your competition does. So.
No, we're not in buy here, pay here anymore at all. Thank goodness. That was a tough, tough business. You know, it really just wore on me after a while. Just the people that you have
to
deal with, the stories. Well, you have to hold everybody's hand, you know, to make these payments and stay on top of them. It's really not that bad if you have a smaller portfolio of, like, I don't know, like maybe like 30 cars out.
That
but
still
I
sounds
got,
like a lot to me.
Yeah, I got to like 200, and it just I learned how to find GPS units and start doing that, you know, but it was still really tough. I had a lot of people that were they would know these systems. Like when a new car mart comes into town or like a new small dealership comes into town, they like scope them out and they go there and they lie about everything, because when you're starting out as a dealership, you really don't know anything. At least I didn't know. And they just they would buy a car from me and take it and park it in their backyard and put a lock on the back fence, because they know, like, and they would put a little plate over their VIN number, you know, so that nobody could identify the car, and they would part it out. They'd buy it, never make a payment, and just part out the entire vehicle to where when I repoed it, I just got like a frame.
And you would have known that.
Oh, yeah.
It happens more than you would think.
Oh, nothing surprises me anymore.
It was every day.
But
know?
Wow.
Yep. Some crazy, crazy stuff. So
I mean, people do the same thing with, you know, rental cars. They buy it, they swap a bad motor from their truck.
Mm.
You know, they rent the same truck, and then they'll, you know, they'll take it to their buddy and put that brand new motor, swap it out, and unless you pop in the hood on the rental car,
that's
you're
a
not
great idea. I never thought about that.
It's a good way to get new tires.
What?
Well, yeah, new
yeah, I have
new tires. You know, your you know, your interior's getting torn up, your seats are getting ripped, you know, rent the same vehicle, swap out the new seat, and, you know, you got that $7 insurance, so if there's a tear in the seat.
I've never thought about this. Have you done this before?
You hear things.
Starting to sound a little sus over here.
I know.
My question is actually the opposite side of, like, when you show up at a wreck. Like, have you ever been in a situation, like, the emotional toll? Is that heavy?
Sometimes.
I've always been curious, you know, because we talk about police officers and we talk about, you know, EMS and all that stuff. But what about the other side, the people who are cleaning up afterward, that impact on you? You know, has that, you know, give your experience maybe showing up to some bad stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely stuff that you see that you wish you could unsee.
Yeah.
You know, but and it sticks. Some of it sticks with you.
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
I don't really know.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of. When the thought comes up, you just kind of push it out.
Yeah.
You know? I have a buddy that has a towing company in upstate New York, and he's definitely seen some things, some, you know, bad wrecks, tractor trailers that, you know, go off the road and take a couple cars with them, and you see some things when you show up on scene that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just kind of wonder how you handle something like that, walking up at a really bad situation and just. Do you just try to help as much as you can? I mean,
you just got to do your job, like being a police officer, you know.
You stay in your job. The people that are handling the scene are doing theirs. You do your cars. You do whatever. Right.
We just basically see what's going on, and you try to look away from some of it, but you still see it anyway. You know.
Yeah, I'm just not good in situations like that where there's high stress. That's why I do hair.
Yeah, I think, like, when you even approach a situation like that, when you realize, like, that's kind of what you're entering into, you don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
To some degree, I think you can kind of mentally prepare yourself for if you know it's a bad wreck, you know, it's not a broken down car you're showing up to.
Right.
Well, do they even tell you that, or do they just kind of call you to the scene?
Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll tell you, you know, it's fatality or whatever, you know.
Or that, you know, it's a, you know, 6-car wreck that you're showing up to, not just one car skidded off the road or something like that. So you can expect some sort of carnage, I guess would be a word for, depending on the scale of the accident.
Right.
You know, I never realized how expensive tow trucks were until I went to buy my first one, and I think I bought a 14 Ram 1-ton, had like 480,000 miles on it, but it had the bed that I needed on it, you know, and I had a full time repo guy that was working for me at the time, and we had a first payment default. This girl had came and bought a car from us and just. Ran immediately. I had no intention of paying, and we found the car like 2 months later. And she was getting gas, and he went and hooked up to it and lifted it off the ground. And right next to him was a brand new Mercedes with the top down, and he had a hydraulic hose completely explode and just soaked this entire Mercedes. He was like, "Nick, I didn't know what to do, so I just dropped it and drove off." I was like. Have you ever had anything like that happen?
No.
I guess that's what happens if you buy good trucks. I don't know. But so you've been doing it for 16 years. Is that all you've been doing? I heard you say on the previous podcast you have two businesses somewhere.
Well, I own the building of the second business, but I don't own the business itself. So, but they're right there together.
Gotcha. But. Where's your lot at? Or not lot, but...
It is a lot. It's on Highway 51 between Tahlequah and Holbert.
So, I guess what made you even start it? So, I guess what I'm trying to say is being that long in business by yourself is extremely rare statistically. You know, what do you think that you were doing that sustained you being able to work for yourself for that long?
Man, my biggest secret, I'll share this with everybody, if people like you, they'll look for an excuse to do business with you. And I've always made it a point to leave people liking me.
I've said that.
That's really hard in the towing business. I
wholeheartedly believe that too, though. I think in our Shana and I's profession, like, we can be the okayest hairstylists in the world, but if we have good personalities and we have good people skills, people keep coming back.
I can steal your car from your front yard and piss you off in ways that you've never been pissed off before. But by the time you're done dealing with me, you'll call me the next time you need a wrecker. I mean, that's just the way it works, dude.
My buddy's the same way. If people show up and they're pissed off that their car got towed or, you know, removed from a lot because it was parked illegally or, you know, whatever. He gets a lot of state calls in the local PD and stuff like that of a, you know, a vehicle that's been parked, you know, illegally for however long, and now the landlord needs it moved for, you know, whatever, and people show up and they're pissed off that they have a tow bill, but then he'll get, you know, he'll get that call and like, oh, hey, my car broke down. You guys, you know, you were really honest and, you know, you worked with us as far exactly. as the payments and stuff like that.
I'm going to be your friend yep. and I'm going to work with you to right. get your car back. And then we're, right. we're buddies from there on.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever it takes to get you your car back, you know, not, don't be an asshole to them. Don't be like, well, this is what it is. It's like, you know, I understand you didn't ask for this. It's no real fault of your own, there's, you know, other than it was parked illegally. Maybe you didn't know. They get a bill from the, you know, from the local PD or whatever that gets passed on.
There's so many of my competitors that will leave those people hating their guts, you yeah. know, and it's like, no, man, you're their best friend. You helped right. them get their car back.
Right.
You know,
you did it safe. You didn't damage the car. You make sure it's back to them and, you know, in the order that you picked it up in. And
you cut them a little deal along the way. As right. long as they feel like they got a deal, they're
right.
happy, you know.
Right.
Little Southern hospitality never exactly. killed yeah. anybody.
And honestly, I mean, you want to treat people the way you want to be treated
absolutely.
Anyway. Right. So, you know.
Did you ever do a private property towaways from like a business and stuff and end up keeping the vehicle?
That's when I'm driving out the 20. I got a 2020 Dodge 1500 sitting out there that
did
I drove.
Did you
I
get it for free?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Hot dog.
I got a 2019 Harley Davidson 2 days before I got that.
Well.
So how that works, and you might be able to correct me on this, because I did some when I was had the tow truck. Basically, a business calls you and says this vehicle's been parked here, no one's touched it, you tow it away. You pick the vehicle up, take it to your lot, and then you start sending out your certified letters and stuff to most registered previous owner. And then if you don't get any calls or any responses at all, you can file for an abandoned title, and then you just own whatever you picked up.
Yeah, well, what's the time frame on something like that of, you know, what's that grace period where somebody has a chance to reach out to you before you legally take ownership? Or is it based on money for storage fees and stuff like
well,
that?
Well, in Arkansas, it was like that, too. So you pick it up, and you're charging storage fees. And then whoever, if somebody does make a claim to the vehicle, then you just give them this bill. And if they pay it, then they can have it. Or if there's nobody ever reaches out to you, or responds to any of the letters. I think Arkansas, it was like 60 days. I can't, might be off a little bit there.
Oh, Oklahoma, you got 42. After the first, you got the first 30, and then you got an additional 12 after the first 30. So 40, when 42 days is over, if they haven't responded, it's yours.
Hmm. Yep, I've seen people get some really nice cars for free. Wild. Brand new BMWs and stuff like that.
So how would that work on the other end of like, you know, you took the 2020. You know, how does that work for the person that owned it, like with their insurance of like, well, I just don't have that vehicle anymore. You know, a lot of people probably still have payments on that vehicle.
Well, no, they basically defaulted on the loan and, you know, it's a repossession for them.
Okay.
But, you know, the lien holder has an opportunity to get it back, but most of them jack around to the point where they don't get it back, so. And then they're mad after at day 43 they're calling you mad and it's like man, I gave you all these days before, you
know? Right. And I know my buddies had several situations where the tow bill, because somebody doesn't come to pick up the vehicle, whatever, ends up being, you know, it's a $2,000 car and now they have a $5,000 storage bill and they can barely afford the $2,000 car. And
we never ever do that. If it gets, you know, if it gets way up there, if the bill's way more than the car's worth, you know, I'm gonna give you your car back for whatever right. you're willing to pay for it.
And that's how he generally works with people too. But you know, some people it's, you know.
So how did you get that 2020 out there? Did anybody make a claim to it, or you just wanted it and just ripped the guy?
No, actually, if you want to know the truth,
oh yeah,
we're only here for facts.
Yeah.
I've got a Jeep Wrangler like hers, but mine's a soft top. Guy on Facebook Marketplace had a soft top for one that I talked to him a couple times about it. He was up around $500 on it. And he hits me up one day and he's like, man, I'll take $100 for that today if you want it. So I went and bought the soft top off him. And while I was there, he pointed at the Dodge Ram. He said, my father-in-law died. And he said, we've contacted the lien holder and they won't come pick up their truck. Do you want to tow that off while you're here? I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. So you got a $100 truck. How many miles are on it?
He even gave me the damn key. He's like, here's the key to it. And I was like, okay.
Golly.
98,000 is what the miles are on it.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
$100 truck.
Four-wheel drive.
So the lien holder didn't claim it or anything?
No. Dodge is the worst, dude. They're the easiest to get what you want from Dodge. They're terrible.
What does that say if they don't even want their own vehicles?
Exactly. I can't remember what is their credit. What is Chrysler credit? What is that?
Yeah, it's Chrysler credit.
Is it? Yeah. They're the worst, man. They will not come get their stuff. Yeah.
That's because they don't want it back either.
Exactly.
Well, they'll probably just try to garnish and sue. You know, they'll probably have a better chance of getting money that way than instead of actually repoing a vehicle.
Absolutely.
Because they can garnish for more.
Yeah.
But tough business, man. I remember there was one time I had to, I sold a car to a lady and she paid cash for it. It was like an old, Toyota Highlander or something like that. And, she bought it for like $6,000 and then went on a drug bender. And somehow this car got impounded, and I used to buy a bunch of cars off Facebook Marketplace, you know, and I was going through Facebook Marketplace, and I saw this ad that said, my car is an impound, whatever you can give me to get it out of impound, you can have the vehicle, and I go meet this person, and it's the same car that I sold her, and I bought the car back for $300.
No way.
Yeah, and then resold it again, and it was really sad. I've never seen there in the vehicle there was like 10 bottles of Narcan.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was like her and like three other people. There was like,
she was
sleeping
lucky to
in
be
the
alive
car. Oh yeah, they when it got impounded, they just want some stuff out of it, and I grabbed a couple bags, I gave them $300, got the car, and drove it back off.
Did you know it was the same person that you sold it to?
Yeah.
So is that why you went for it?
No, I mean, I went because, like she said, she needed out of impound. I thought, I knew the vehicle that was pictured was worth whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, if I can get a good deal on buying this vehicle, I'm going to do it. And I went there, and it was her, and it was the same vehicle. And she recognized us, and she didn't say anything. She was like, yeah, just give me some money, pay the bill, and it's yours. And they just gave me a title, and I got the car back.
Damn.
I sold the same car 5 times. That's my record from buying and repoing the same vehicle.
What was the vehicle?
It was.
What
know,
the hell?
Yeah, you know what's crazy is each time I repoed it was a first payment default. So
that's like getting married, divorced, and remarried to the same person.
Six times.
Like what?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I made for like the first 6 months. I just got down payments on that car. So if someone gave me like $1,000 down, never made the first payment, and I get it back and just redo it again. It happened 5 times, and the sixth person finally paid it off.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've titled 42 to vehicle, sold it, impounded again, titled 42 it again, and sold it again. I've done that before.
What's title 42?
That's the process.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever had to repo the same people over and over?
Man, I do a lot of work for CarMart. Man, it's the same.
Oh man,
I can repo your car today, and you can have it back this afternoon. Yeah. You know? And then I'll repo it again tomorrow. It's,
you know, and like when I was in the business, I remember like there was like this community of people that just always got repoed all the time. And if I was ever looking for somebody, there was like 5 or 6 people. I'd be like, hey man, I'll give you $100. Just tell me where this person's at. They'd be like, here they are. Man, it's a no loyalty among thieves.
But that's not how it's supposed to be, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, snitches get stitches, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're all fine. You know, it was a tough business. It is, you know, that is a tough business in general. I'm surprised you did it for 16 years.
Especially when you know a towing business, you don't see people at their best. You see them at their worst, or
yeah, it's usually the worst day they're having.
Yeah, sometimes like a low point in their life. So it's, you know, it's. You're not delivering their brand new Ferrari, you know, so that they're not putting miles on it. You're taking away a vehicle that
right.
That might be the only way for them to, you know, get around.
So what is like what have you had to overcome to keep that business going? Because I know anytime 16 years of business has got to be tough.
And there's always something, man. The idiot we talked about earlier with the gossip page.
Oh, yeah.
He's decided that he's going to be in the record business. You know, there's always some idiot.
I think he just wants to be you guys.
He does want, you know, if I was him, I'd want to be me too.
I mean, pop off. But no, it just seems like he wants to just be you guys.
First, he was going to be a reporter.
Right. Now he's going to be a record. He's just obsessed with you guys.
He's bought a truck and built a lot. And I mean, and he's,
so
he's got like felonies and stuff, so I don't get it. But
the guy that we were talking about on the last podcast, the Tahlequah gossip page, is that his page, or is he just like an admin on it, or
he stole it?
How do you steal a Facebook page?
They made him an admin so he could put all this stupid scanner shit on it, and then he kicked the originators of the page. He kicked them off.
Well,
he had a Facebook page mutiny.
I'm dead serious.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Infiltrate the dealers. Find the suppliers.
Infiltrate the dealer.
Find the suppliers.
He and the I'm the new chief.
Are you guys artistic?
Get together.
Yes.
Yes. This is actually very artistic.
So what do you do?
I've done a little bit of everything over the years. Currently, mostly a painter. I'm originally from upstate New York. In 2016, I moved down to South Florida. That's where I met Nick, painting planes.
Not house painting. We painted private jets.
Yeah.
Awesome. It sounds really sexy.
Where in South Florida?
Boca Raton and Opa-locka, which is just outside of Miami.
We go to Punta Gorda
It's like the butthole of Miami.
It is.
We go to Punta Gorda a lot, which is like an hour south of Sarasota.
Yep. So, the company that I work with just bought a new place in Sarasota at the airport.
Yeah.
So actually when I leave here, I'm here in town for a couple of weeks, painting a truck. And then when I leave here, I go directly to Sarasota to do some plane paint work.
Cool.
So
I love Sarasota.
I've always wondered, what do you use to paint a plane with? What is that?
Paint.
Is it like automotive paint? Or?
Well, if you ever paint a house, you just roll it on.
Out there brushing it.
Yeah. Take a tiny little detail brush.
Now, the materials themselves are, you know, very similar, and the process is very similar to, you know, painting cars. The materials are a little bit different. You know, there's different corrosion inhibitors and stuff like that for aerospace paint versus just, you know, your generic base coat, clear coat. A lot of the differences is in the primers themselves. You know, specifically designed to treat metal for corrosion resistance, extreme like heat changes and humidity changes that you get with.
Yeah, like I really don't know if I should even record this, but when we first started painting jets, like before I even met you, we were just using like cheap car paint.
Well,
so stupid.
Yeah.
Question.
Oh, you do stuff like that, but
because we're just doing like spot repair. They never say anything.
Spot repairs and, you know, changing the color of the stripes. That's not necessarily as important as it, you know, we've done a couple full strip and repaints, where you're taking it all the way down to bare aluminum, bare composite, bare magnesium, whatever that part is, and then you have to build it up with, you know, the real stuff. Not doing a 2-inch spot repair to, you know, fix some corrosion or change the color of the stripes, because that's pretty popular when people buy a plane. Like, well, I don't like red and blue. I'd want black and silver.
Did you have to do a lot of like specialized training for this, or is this just like a kind of you learn as you go kind of thing? Because you're talking about intense chemicals, so do you have to have?
Well, no, my dad and I trained him.
Well, no, yeah. But like, do you have? But I'm just curious. I have no idea.
I mean, asking
for somebody who wouldn't know.
I mean, for me, it was mostly learn on the job. I have had the benefit over the couple of years, or I've been doing it since 2016, to work with some very gifted painters that have only ever
done. Stop it, Tom.
Not you. But that have only ever worked in, painting aircraft and stuff like that. And you learn certain things from them on, you know, techniques and application process. But a lot of it is, yes, the chemicals are different and sometimes complex, and there's certain application standards that have to be met. But as long as you can read the technical data sheet on how it's supposed to be applied, in what order, in what time frame, and what is, what products are can be used you know, compatible. Thank you.
Does it come like pre-mixed?
No, it's usually, you know,
okay,
you,
so the, you have the, yeah,
a,
that's
a base component, but as long as you can read the ratio,
okay,
and
yeah,
you know, measure it out.
Then, yeah, I wasn't sure if measure it out.
Yeah, and it gives you all the, like, hey, it has to be, you know, applied within, you know, this temperature range and, mm-hmm, you know, this amount of time between coats, and then X amount of time before you can recoat or top coat. So,
yeah.
It's
neat.
And after a while, you know, you just kind of memorize all the different,
sure, yeah,
different things.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly, like us.
Where do you do this? Is this inside the hangar?
Yes.
Just no, yep, no paint booth or nothing like
so,
that?
So the place we had in Opa-locka, we had an entire hangar that was strictly a paint booth. You know, three-stage exhaust fans and filtered air coming in inside the hangar. We had a automotive-style booth for, you know, parts off the plane and stuff like that. But, you know, we had, you know, full, basically took a 10,000 square foot hangar and made it one giant paint booth.
Yeah,
so
pretty
so
cool.
So these guys fly their stuff to you and then,
yes,
you, okay.
Yep.
Well, that's
what have you worked on anybody's plane that's worth mentioning lately?
Did you do,
or been around?
Did you do Trump Force One?
No, did not do Trump. you know,
Trump Force One.
A lot of the planes that we work on, yeah, yes, you know, it belongs to a celebrity, but you don't necessarily get to interact with a celebrity. We did some work years ago down in Opa-locka on Alex Rodriguez's plane.
A-Rod?
Yep, when he had his Learjet. He has since upgraded to a Gulfstream, but that thing's always in Miami.
I just can't imagine what it would be like to see that much affluence.
Yeah.
All the time.
Right. You know what's funny? So my dad, he's the president for this maintenance company that works on private jets, and so he actually gets to talk to the celebrities a lot. And he went up and met Drake and Rihanna, and had no idea who they were.
That is so funny. He had no idea.
He's not up on the pops.
He wasn't. Like,
you guys paying your bill?
Because if that would have been me, I would have been like, Jimmy, no.
You hop on and put the headphones on.
Yeah.
All right.
Nobody got my Degrassi joke, and that just made me feel very young.
I never watched
sad.
Degrassi.
Well, that's where Drake got his start, was Jimmy Brooks on Degrassi.
Who's Drake?
The rapper?
The singer?
I know.
Oh. You got me.
All right. So we got the wife over here at the table now.
Hello.
Tell us what you do.
Okay, so I'm a crime and court reporter for Tahlequah News.
Okay.
I'm Tahlequah.
Now, I was loosely paying attention during the podcast. I was just focusing on the cameras, the one you did before this. So do you own your own media company, I guess, or news company in this area? Or what is that? How do you get paid?
I don't get paid.
A true entrepreneur.
But then I didn't get paid much at the newspaper.
So
I was going to say, did you really make much working for the press?
No, not at all.
So you just run this page then, or you don't receive any money at all from your following? You don't monetize in any way?
So I just started doing that. I should have done it a long time ago, because I've had a lot of stories that have taken off. And I didn't think about doing that until probably about 3 months ago.
Just doing it for the love of the game.
Well, you can love. I was just talking to Tom about this. Like, you know, you can monetize your social media following very easily.
I figured that out. I finally figured that out.
Do you like? So, how have you made any money from any of the stories yet? For like posting real, or like, how do you explain to me what you do?
So, I run our website. And I write articles just as I did whenever I was with the paper. I go out and take my own photos, sources, everything, and write it together and put it on our website, which I then share to our social media sites.
So what's the name of your social media sites? Get on here so we'll tag you in the description.
We're at Tahlequah News.
Tahlequah News. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that on Facebook? You have Instagram, TikTok?
We don't have Instagram or TikTok, but we have X.
That's Twitter, right? Twitter. Okay.
Yeah. Formerly known as Twitter.
Thanks, Elon.
And then...
you rock. Oh, thank you, Tom.
And then Facebook, of course. And then just our website.
So Tahlequah News is the Facebook page?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want all the best news in the world, go to Tahlequah News. Because there's a lot of shit that happens in this town that is wild.
I'd say it's written from a fresher perspective.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
How much do I owe you for that?
Huh?
You don't owe nothing. No, I mean that genuinely. I have felt for years the press is old, tired, and boring because it's just, it's the same as it's always been. And it's not reporting any, it's not fresh, it's not current, it's not adapting for a more modern society. It's just the same.
Yeah.
It has never changed.
Yeah. Which is sad.
So
but
what made you What made you start that?
So I quit my job last year, which I was supposed to help him with the record business. I don't know.
Were you going to do?
I mean, I notarize stuff for him now.
Okay.
You're also a notary?
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, if you need a Tahlequah notary, shout out to Tahlequah Press. What was
Tahlequah News.
Tahlequah News. Yeah, just message them and you can get a notary and a good story.
And so I realized that I was not done reporting and that I still had a good drive for it. And so...
So what got you into reporting? Because to me, that's a very unique passion, I guess, to follow these stories. Because the reporters I've met are just very strong. Or like you were saying before, like you're... Like when you get a call, like you're there, always available to capture whatever news is happening. So how did you come to realize like that's what you wanted to do? And what's up, Baker?
So I'm weird and I'm very captivated by crime and morbid shit.
I love court TV. Give me any true crime podcast. So, let's go.
I was a big fan of Live PD and everything. Yes. And what they get to see, what we don't get to see. Right. And I think when I started out to get my degree as a journalist, I didn't anticipate crime reporting. And so, thankfully,
so you have a degree?
I do. I have a degree in broadcast journalism.
So what's the future look like for the Tahlequah page? What's your steps?
Not broadcast.
Not broadcast?
No, I freak the hell out in front of the camera.
You're literally
broadcasting right now?
You're literally broadcasting as we speak.
I know.
Don't tell her that.
I know. I'm very aware.
So you hate being here right now?
No.
I'm
triggered. I just remember in college I just wanted...
No, I'm just upset too.
Sorry.
No. So, like, what's the end goal with this?
Oh, it is for people to know me for my work. And I feel like a lot of what Tahlequah knows me for is my work.
So, define your work for me. I guess that'd be the type of stories that you cover.
Just crime. I don't paint a narrative. I report the facts. What happened, how it happened, when it happened. And if there's a solution in the end with that story, then I update everyone on that.
Okay.
And I'm not really much into reporting politics.
Okay. We got a political science major over here.
Hello.
Someone who doesn't like reporting politics.
It's nice to meet you.
I also have a degree in history, which makes me an extra special kind of weirdo, but...
I love that.
Yeah. I did dual degree. I swear, you look so familiar. Like...
Well, yeah, she's a reporter.
Well, no, she went to NSU also, and so I'm wondering if our paths may have...
I did report for NSU while I was there.
What years were you there?
Oh, don't judge me.
Baker, go.
I love Baker.
My dog is excited to be around.
We love
those people.
Baker.
Everybody loves my dog.
2011 to 16.
Yep. Yeah. I was 12 to 16. December of 16 is when I graduated.
I don't remember.
It's okay. No, I was probably just floating around seminary hall in a daze.
So how do you make a career out of what you're doing then? Besides, you know, what, like getting a job as like a news anchor, immediately what pops in my head. So free of my ignorance, there's like, I don't know. I have no idea. So like what you're doing though, going completely on your own and you have your own page, what are those steps to make this a money making machine or like, is that even the goal?
Honestly, it's like the last thing I think about. I'm just excited that I still am able to do what I did whenever I did get paid.
But, Well, anybody that has a business has to work without getting paid for a long time.
I think what you're saying is your passion for people and reporting those stories is stronger than like making money.
Mm-hmm. I think I really want to get Craig paid more than anything.
Yeah. I love he's a spitfire.
Craig?
He is. He reached out to me. Craig Wing reached out to me.
Who is Craig Wing?
He is our sports writer.
You're sports, like a sports writer here in town? I'm not from here. I don't know anybody here. So
for Tahlequah News. Like, I just anticipated this whole thing. I was on my own. I was going to learn as I went. And he reached out and wanted to write sports. And it was in the middle of high school basketball season. So I took him and we created a byline for him and everything, introduced him on our page, and everyone loves him. He's very old-fashioned when it comes to writing sports, and I think a lot of people actually really love that about him.
And he also lives over by the asphalt plant on 51, so that's how I met him, which was at city council. And he seems like a really, really solid guy.
Well, it's interesting that you put so much effort into something you're not getting paid for, which is kind of really why I started this podcast, because that mindset right there of really finding something that you believe in and what you're doing is what people really need to lean into, no matter where you're at in life, whether if your goal is to get a job and do whatever, or start a business or whatever. If you don't have that grit to just get out there and do something because you just absolutely fucking love it, it's never going to work. So being able to have the confidence to lean into that, you know, that's a very hard thing to do. So what did you go through? Like, how did that story come to be where you're like, you know what, I don't want to do anything else. I'm okay not making money. This is what I want to do because I know it's going to play out. Like, how did you really enter husband? You know, well, even married or whatever.
As stupid as it sounds, you know as well as I do that you just get out there, you do what you got to do, you burn all the fucking bridges behind you so you can't turn around and go back, and you make it work no matter what.
Yes.
And sooner or later, this will work. If it doesn't fuck, it will do something else, but it'll work.
You just got to will it.
Did you say if it doesn't fuck, it'll do something else? Well, if that's not good advice for the evening, if you're going to the bar tonight,
if it doesn't fuck, do something else.
It'll do something.
Devin Gordon.
I love that. Oh, God. Put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Diesel Daddy's first merch.
There we go. T-shirt out of that. I don't know if I'm going to put that in the store.
You can just put the, like, you know, symbols or whatever. You know,
the acronym, yeah. If it doesn't fuck.
Do something else.
It'll do something.
That's well, trademark it.
Anyways, but
trademark.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the new, you know, your new T-shirt next week is.
I trademarked it. It's trademarked now.
If it don't fuck, do something else.
Fuck. It's the most Arkansas thing.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's where I'm from.
That's why it feels so at home to you, Nick.
So natural.
I appreciate that.
I don't know how you incorporate that accent into the text on the T-shirt, but you need to figure out a way.
It's implied.
Well, you just misspell things.
Or, you know, put it in, like, Comic Sans or something.
It's just implied.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, even having the grit to not quit. So, like, back to you, Devin. You know, if you know, 16 years in business, that's the ability to not, because being a business owner and entrepreneur and the life that I chose to. Is it loose on the bottom of the table right there at all?
No.
All right. Just keep it tight over there. It's a, you know, that's a lot to go through and maintain a normal life, you know. I've been divorced because of my decisions to where I didn't want to do what I didn't want to do in business. And it was taking, I was doing things like, because I believed in starting a whatever business I was doing at the time. And it, and people separate from me, they'll leave you. The people that cheer you on fall away from you as you start to make it, you know. What did that look like for you? Did you have any of that? Or is it just all rainbows and butterflies?
No, I had that, man. I'm divorced, you know, and you do. You lose your family for your business, which is fine. You know, my ex was fucking crazy anyway, but.
Well, you know. Every ex is crazy. I mean, listen, but here's what I have to say about that. There are two people involved in a relationship that falls apart. It's both people's fault. It's it's absolutely her fault and her mom's for raising her that way.
My God.
So stay toxic.
But no, you know, you got a 24-hour business, and you got to be there when the phone rings.
Oh, that's another thing. You're 20. Are you like 24 hours? Legit 24 hours?
You know, I was for the first 10, 15 years. I really was, but I'm kind of slowing down a little bit on the 24-hour part. But you know, you're there when the phone rings.
That's tough.
Yeah, people wreck their cars at very inconvenient times.
Have you, have you ever just like tried to take a weekend off and you're just fucking hammered, 2 a.m.?
Yeah, I mean,
and that phone rings. Yeah, and then you go do a call.
What sucks is you're on vacation somewhere else and the phone's ringing non fucking stop all night long. It's like, man, I'm on vacation. But you know, you do got to take time off and you know, be for yourself every once in a while too.
Got to create some balance for yourself.
Yeah, can't work constantly.
Well, that's cool stuff, man. That's
I love that. That's a good story.
Well, I mean, like in any business, it's you really have to go through that. Oh, did you ruin my camera? Did you ruin Tom's camera?
It's okay. That's all right. It's better. It looks better pointed away from my face, anyway.
Yeah, you're over there looking like a couch. Something to sit on.
I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer on this podcast, but I will say another thing that he has to deal with in his line of work is getting struck while working, and that's something that
like people strike, like hitting you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the people!
It happens so often.
Like people like don't when they say move over for tow vehicles and stuff, and people don't. They'll blow right past you.
Oh my God!
There's so many.
Oh, you mean struck by another vehicle?
Yes. Oh my God! That would have been nothing. That I never would have even.
Yeah, you wouldn't think about it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that, but it happens so often, and it's so sad because it's preventable.
Well, it's terrifying. That's got to be terrifying for you.
Mm-hmm. It is, but thankfully
not for you so much. Well, but just for her.
We're just worried about your wife.
You know what I mean.
But really, in the United States, there's two or three that die a day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but,
that's unnecessary.
My buddy's had a couple close calls.
It's
on
unnecessary.
People that,
one really close call. Yep. Scared the shit out of me. But.
The guy that worked for me doing repos, I called him the boogeyman. I'll keep him named as that. I'm just kidding. His name's Mike. Look him up. But
You just said you weren't going to name him, and then you named him.
Yeah, fuck that guy. No, I love Mike, but we called him the boogeyman. And before I met him, he'd been a repo man like his whole life, or the majority of it that I've known of. And he was doing repos out in Dallas and got shot on one. Somebody came out and shot him, he blacked out, and he just woke up in the hospital, almost died and bled out just for repoing a car.
Right.
Like a $2,000 car. Someone's willing to kill somebody over.
Yeah, that's the stupidest stuff ever.
But dangerous business, man. Dangerous business.
I mean, that's, you know, besides towing the stuff, I feel like that's where we're at a lot on, you know, people have no value for life anymore. Their go-to move in any situation is to pull a gun on somebody. And don't get me wrong. I carry guns. I think everybody should, but that's your last resort. That's not your go-to move on. Right.
Talk it down the best you can.
How does being a crime reporter to you, like seeing that stuff regularly as a living, affect your perception of just everyday life? Are you impacted by that at all?
I think.
Or do you shake it off like a sociopath?
I do.
Is that what the Dahmer glasses are for?
You may have to in some ways.
I think
she likes it.
You just have to ignore it. I mean, I feel like I could be a homicide detective and I would be fine.
So
I could if I didn't have to go to the scene and see the blood. Can I just do the sleuthing?
Like my twin's an investigator. My twin sister and she.
Oh, you're a twin?
I am.
Are you like, how much alike do you look?
Identical.
Wait, is that
oh,
how, is that how she knows you from your twin sister?
No, she didn't go to college.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So
hilarious. That would have been hilarious, though.
Has your husband ever gotten confused?
Oh, no.
With your twin sister?
No.
Do you guys have the same hair color?
Yeah. We have the same glasses.
You ever heard that meme? This one's for Tom.
What's that?
So Tom's a big meme guy, but you ever heard that? Like, it was a real... It's like you ever marry a girl who has a twin sister and you get drunk?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever, do you know how genetically the same you are?
We're not identical.
Oh, okay. So you're fraternal twins?
Mm-hmm.
I've known a few identical
twins. That's pretty close, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You guys look.
I grew up with a set of fraternal twins. Both, you know, not like your father's, male and female twins, but two girls, but they don't look anything alike. Mm-hmm. You know, one's brunette, one's always been blonde, and it's.
But you guys look spooky similar.
We have switched places before.
So you're identical twins.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But she's.
This is
she's
y'all, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Who's that? That's them?
That's them.
Those are sweet mullets on top.
Thanks.
I dig it.
I can't see it that far away. This is you guys?
Yeah.
Are you actually that different in height?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know if like one was wearing heels, one's not wearing mm-hmm. heels.
I can't really see it.
She was
in the
eating more in there. That's unfair.
I just want that topic.
That's rude.
Yeah, just zoom
why'd
on
she
the
steal the height from you?
I will say this. You guys had a great glow up.
Thanks. Took a lot of work.
Yeah, well.
I think we all looked questionable somewhere in the mid-2000s.
That was 91, sweetie.
Still. Okay, well, I'm sorry. My 30s showing.
Oh, my God. How old are you?
32.
30, how old are you? 50. Oh, hell yeah. Look at, hold on.
It's a flex for go. Him.
Look at over there.
It's a flex for you too, babe.
Not so much for her.
Oh, yeah. No, it is.
I think it's a flex for you too.
I get those senior discounts.
Yeah.
AARP membership coming right up.
Shayna is, she's older than me by quite a bit. If I just get the camera on these.
Hey,
late,
it's a flex. It's a flex in both ways, mm-hmm. I think.
Late groomed pedophiles over here.
Oh my God.
Oh, there.
How dare you say that about my twin?
I'm sorry. I'll let it out the P word there. So, are you native in this area? Or like, are you Indian? Is anybody here Indian?
Yes.
No.
You're not Indian?
Nope.
Nope. No one?
Me.
You two are.
You are? Well, I'm barely native. I'm native, like, I'm Indian enough to just be able to say the N-word. Native.
Oh. Mm. I'm actually probably more than people would assume based off of my
I see it
tone.
In your hair.
You
got that straight.
The cheekbones, like my skin coloring in the summer, and then obviously I have brown eyes, but... No,
dude, I burn like a ginger.
I'm a fourth.
I get a sunburn like I have no soul.
Yeah, I'm
just cooks me.
I'm a little over a fourth, but you would not be able to tell by this fair complexion, like at all. In fact, I went to Briggs out east of town, and girls at school used to call me half blood and half breed.
What is it? Is this a Harry Potter term?
Yeah, before Harry Mudblood.
This was
Mudblood.
Way before Harry Potter. Yeah. That seriously, people would say stuff about me being light skinned, and I'm like, I think I'm probably more than you are. If we're gonna play that game.
You know, I would never have thought that you're Indian.
Mm-hmm. I get Hispanic.
I see
all
yep.
the time.
I see the beans.
Like
I can see that.
I went to Puerto Rico on a mission trip in like the 12th grade, and I almost got kidnapped.
They said, welcome home.
Not my flag.
Better not let that thing touch the ground.
Just push it on up against the wall there. Come on, Tom. Save the day.
He's tall. He's
got
to
do it.
Smush it down.
Yay!
I'm not allowed to nail anything to the wall in the studio.
Man, you can't. Man, that stinks.
It'll happen in time. Also, another special guest on the podcast today is Baker. Baker.
He's so adorable.
There he is.
There he is.
Daisy Bakers.
Get my beers out of the way.
He is a purebred golden retriever, and he's very large, about 120 pounds. But it's also a cool fact about my dog. He has an enormous dick.
I was going to say he's the goodest boy.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, that too. That's also a fun fact about him.
He's not very smart, though.
Nice guys finish last, don't they, boy? Yeah.
You don't talk about my best friend like that.
Well... I'm just lucky I got him to finish. Dude, getting this boy laid was the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
He did not know
what to do.
He was trying to do it missionary style.
Oh, man, just like his dad.
Oh, God.
Poor babe.
Well, he had terrible training, so he stopped trying after 30 seconds because that's how long he thought it lasted.
Poor
Bakes. Baker see, Baker do. So.
Oh, my my gosh.
He's
so
like, he's like, I've seen Dad enough. This is how this works.
Yeah.
The story that you guys were talking about with this concrete asphalt thing. Okay, so you're covering the story, mm-hmm. right? And Miss Allison over here is an activist against this thing. Explain to me what actually is happening. Because I have no idea, and I was just not paying attention when you guys were talking. So
you explain. You know all the
so. Basically, this asphalt plant's going in 100 yards outside of the city limits, and we're kind of facing off in a jurisdiction issue between the city and the county as to really what's going to happen, period. But also, they have committed some violations per their permits from the Department of Environmental Quality. It's just a really complex issue because we're running into, again, jurisdiction. Whose authority is it to zone the county? Because the county isn't zoned, so that would normally fall to the county commissioners. But the county commissioners don't seem like they're going to put forth effort into zoning the county. The city decided not to take any action on the easement that was proposed at city council earlier this month, which was a win for us in a way, those of us who don't want it, because at least we've gotten city council to not let them move forward with the gas line zoning. But I believe, or at least Carrie's brought it up, that he may own this land that they're going on, that they're building the plant
on.
So
what's your perspective on this, Carrie?
I don't really have a dog in the fight just because I don't live out there.
Sure.
But I do know people that do.
I think you do have a dog in the fight, though, because you live in Tahlequah. And I think I think your opinion matters.
That's true. I feel like just with this much pushback from the public, it would be a mistake to move forward.
I think so, too.
And I Cherokee County is huge. If they want to put it somewhere, I feel like there's plenty of places that they can find.
There I am. Sorry, hold on. Had some technical difficulties.
Uh-oh.
But I look fucking great. How did I get into that setting?
Dude, the cameras look awesome.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Shout out to Nick for the upgrade in the setup.
Yeah. So, well, I'll detour on this in a second.
That's okay.
But, no, like, I want to dive into this because I've heard you talking about it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I have no idea or any personal opinion about, not a personal opinion, but I don't know anything about it to cast an opinion on it. So, why do you think that it is bad? Why are you so strong against this asphalt cement plant coming in?
Well, they're putting it in people's backyards, basically, all the people that live along Bryant Road. I mean, it's behind their houses. Their children play in that creek. And the creek that is in question here is called, it's the Pecan Creek Watershed. It flows south into Lake Fort Gibson through Mallard Bay at Sequoia State Park. This watershed is already labeled as impaired by the EPA, which means it doesn't meet the standards of the Clean Water Act. So the EPA should already be stepping in here, if you're asking me. And from what I have heard, so I submitted a formal Freedom of Information request through Mark Wayne Mullen's office to get information about the watershed itself and to see if the EPA knows anything about what's going on. I got a response from his office and a call from a representative in his office saying that the EPA knows, the EPA is following it closely. Where that goes from there, I have no idea. There's also been questions on whose jurisdiction this watershed actually belongs to. So to me, the biggest issue is the watershed leading to Lake Fort Gibson and polluting the lake. I mean, a lot of Oklahoma's tourism on this side of the state is our scenic views.
We have tourism here?
I mean, the river.
We have a lot. We have a lot.
That's not tourism. That
no,
the river is, no, the river is not tourism.
Well, yes, okay. But, no, it is yes, not. It is for people who it is for people who aren't from this area. Mm-hmm. I don't do it because I grew up here and did that shit a million times. But people who aren't from here come here for the Illinois River to see Cherokee property, to see, come to the casino. I mean, there's a lot of things that would draw people here, and a lot of it has to do with being outside. And my issue is the wind blows from the west, and all of that stuff that the plant is putting into the air is going to blow directly into the city and sit on top of us. We're already in a valley sitting at the foothills of the Ozarks.
Now, you were saying that this this plant going in is drastically going to drop home values in that area.
Yep.
So is that real?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. From the research I have done, I have read anywhere between 11% and 46%. Can vary state by state, location, area by area.
What would cause the difference in the percentage on that? Because how big the asphalt
plant
is?
I think how close you are to it. So the people that are, you know, it's behind them or, you know, to the side of their houses, it's probably going to depreciate their homes a lot. And I think a lot of those
are
actually...
How close are you to it?
I can see it from my house. I'm probably...
You're in the 40% range then.
Probably. I mean... I can stand on the side of my house and see all the trucks right now.
So you got a good view.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the people that live right there on the creek have a better view.
Have they moved forward at all with work? Because I drive by there every day. And
yeah, I do too. I've seen people out there. I've seen trucks out there. But I haven't seen any other progress.
No movement, really.
No, they tore down that massive oak tree yesterday. It broke my heart.
Do you think you have a chance at winning this?
I don't know. I'm going to be totally honest. I don't know.
What's sad is, because whenever we wrote the article, a lot of people brought up the concrete plant and how petitions were signed.
Yeah.
Everyone came to the council meetings, and it still went up. And so that would be my fear.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at. I have called... literally
it's all money.
I mean, it absolutely is. I mean, like, I've called,
drink them all, boys, drink them all.
I'll run you down a list. I'll run you down a list of all the people I've called. Mark Wayne Mullen, Josh Perkeen, Cowboy Blake Stevens has never called me back. Has never called me back, has never emailed me back. Pemberton, Bob Ed Culver. Oh, gosh. The EPA, the U.S. Geological Survey, the Army Corps of Engineers, the EPA, the BIA, the Cherokee Nation, my tribal counselor.
I'd be surprised that the EPA is really not in this, coming from somebody and my partner Tom over here, too, who makes a career from completely avoiding the EPA.
Well, yeah,
and cool. How strong of a relationship we've had to have with them.
Right.
To ignore that type of dumping.
Like I said, they know. They know and they're following the situation closely. That's what they keep telling me. But I'm...
If they tell you that, that's exactly what they're not doing.
I know. That's such a generic answer.
It is. It's the most generic answer. But that's all I can hope for right now is getting the generic answers because they know I'm looking.
Yeah.
And in the first move in a grassroots movement is you have to get it out there. People have to know about this. And that's what I love about the article that Carrie wrote was because now people are paying attention.
Can we pull up the article that she wrote?
Before you wrote that article, nobody knew what I was talking about because nobody reads the Daily Press anymore. Because the press has done stories about it, but nobody reads the press anymore. So when I would talk to people in my chair about what's going on, nobody knows what I'm talking about.
They probably cover the, oh, it's going to bring new jobs and whatever, not... Hey, it's going to have
and that's the other thing. There has been no conversation of new jobs. It's all temporary. So when I first heard about it, we were told that this plant was temporary and when it was done, it would be gone. But now it's sounding like it's not temporary. It's permanent. And this guy's going to have his own crew come in and work it.
You better pet that dog. He's going to keep whacking his tail.
Yeah, you better pay the tummy toll.
So is Cherokee Towing on Google? Are you on Google? Do you have a Google listing? Facebook?
That's the article she wrote.
I was going to say, I want to
Craig wrote
I want to pull up a.
I just saw your picture
his
at
best
the bottom
one star
of it.
Google review and read it out loud.
Hey, and also just what you said before about like the Illinois River and like maybe not bringing that much revenue in, it actually brings in $9 million a year and roughly just $350.
Well, that's just from locals.
Well, no, this is not. This is just collectively. You know what I mean. Like, it brings in a lot, and they shut down a lot.
Well,
of
I'm not saying
farms.
That it doesn't bring in a lot, but
because
tourist attraction.
Into, it is.
It absolutely
I've never met somebody that wasn't from Missouri, Oklahoma, or Arkansas.
That's still tourism.
And still people come here.
I don't know. That's like saying a rave is tourism.
that it is, though, if it brings people from another city to another city.
But basically, right. You can count tourism as anybody. I would say anybody outside of Tahlequah, even if they're from Muskogee and they come out here.
They're a tourist.
It's still technically tourism.
You know, a lot of people go outside of their own state to vacation because they can't, you know. It's not
a, yeah.
I'm just saying it. The environment here is a big deal because it's a lot of what we have. It's a lot of what
I would definitely agree with that.
Well, it's a lot of what keeps people here. I mean, that's what brought me back here from Tulsa. I did the big city thing. And I hated it. So I wanted to come home to a place.
Are you guys from here?
Not originally.
Where are you from?
Bristow.
Is that
Western
Oklahoma too?
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Devin? Where are you from?
Texas.
All right.
But genuinely, I wanted to come home and raise my family here and not, you know, houses aren't on top of each other like they are in the neighborhoods that I was living in Tulsa. And to me, it's just, I don't know, it's just what I'm looking for, to slow down, to have a more simplistic lifestyle. And now this is like, you know.
So what's the move if you don't win this battle?
Well,
are they actually operating out of this plant yet?
No. Nothing is built. We've barely gotten past go here, because they've messed with the creek already, which is diverting sediment and all kinds of stuff, which is a big problem. That's why the EPA is involved and the DEQ, plus the permitting. They didn't get a permit until after January. They like broke ground on the project in like the end of December. Didn't get a permit though till after the first of the year.
How many jobs is this place gonna make?
We don't know yet.
We don't know. We know nothing about this.
Like any idea at all?
No, they haven't said
anything.
Do you
have any idea, Devin?
No, but I'm gonna give you an idea.
Give me an idea.
So I've got a friend that works in Broken Arrow.
Okay.
They're building a big apartment complex.
Yeah.
Their complete project is shut down because they found some kind of bug that's almost extinct.
You know,
and they've been sitting still for 6 months.
My husband mentioned this the other day, that we should go over there and look for something.
Find a bug on the creek that's
almost extinct,
and you've got your deal done.
Well, I'm still doing everything I can. I'm showing up to all the meetings and talking to all the people and calling all the people and emailing all the people. And, I mean, that's all I can hope to do, is keep making people aware that this is happening.
Well, and just the reaction on the article.
Yeah,
a lot of people were not aware of what was being
built. Well, I had no idea until you started talking about it on the previous podcast.
And none of us, like I've said before, none of us that live over there knew about it either. We were just, you know, told that this is what's happening. Like, nobody had a conversation with any of us. And I know they don't have to, but to me, it's just, he has to know that this is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the small town mentality of like, hey, this isn't a big city where everybody's a faceless person just passing by every day. It's a very tight knit community.
Yeah.
And the 2 years I lived here, everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's unfortunately sometimes in everybody's business.
Sure.
But you know, it's a much more neighborly community than a lot of places are.
And I think it just proves that he isn't from our community, because he doesn't know that. Mm-hmm. And we want progress in Tahlequah. That's not what I'm saying. We just want the right kind in the right places, and everybody can be safe. Like, there are 3 schools that are going to be near this.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wouldn't send my kid to any of those schools now.
You know, I was reading the other day that Tahlequah has some of the dirtiest water.
Yep.
In America.
And we also have a lot of pediatric cancer.
Well, I don't pee on anything. I don't know what. Maybe we should stop peeing outside so much. I don't know.
It's your fault. You are the cause.
Well, it's all the Indians out here.
But Nick touched on it a little bit a couple minutes ago about, you know, me and him have seen how closely the EPA can pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, oh, we're keeping a close eye on it. Well, I've seen firsthand how close an eye they can keep. And
they will shove something so far up your ass you can barely.
And
what it takes is, it, you know, I don't know, who, you know, this movement that you guys are trying to, or the support for the, you know, kind of putting the brakes, or at least getting clarification and making sure everything is done, at least environmentally protecting. But yes, you don't want it close to the homes, but it's going to take the right person with the right pull to get on your side.
Absolutely.
Because right now, when you get those generic answers, it sounds like the people that have the right pull.
Do you think it's even possible to get the right person that it's all about money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how can you even get the right person that is going to be able to give the county or the city enough money to put that out?
This is, like I said,
is that frame that question right? You know, because whoever's moving this in here is creating a way for the city and himself to make a ton of money. And the only way, in my opinion, that you're ever going to even win this fight is if there is an alternative to that that makes sense
with,
for him.
With
a deeper pocket or something that makes more sense, because there's nothing else that's going to win that.
When you said the concrete plant went through with all the petitions and everything else, it went through because of money.
Yeah, and I know that at the end of the day, too. Like, I have very low expectations, I'll put it that way, just because I do know what we're up against. But that doesn't mean I have to go quietly or silently or, you know.
Are you going to sell your house now?
I don't know.
Before it gets worse.
Well, and that's the other thing. It just gets more complicated, and I don't know. There's a whole lot I don't know right now, but like I said, I'm not going quietly. I'll raise enough hell and I'll piss enough people off. Because as far as I'm concerned, if anybody sitting on city council right now runs for re-election, it's
I am going to get the
Brakeen.
I'm getting him on this podcast.
Well, if you do, I want to be here.
Yeah, we can sideswipe them on that. Well, I think one, it's great for the podcast, but it'd be a really fun issue to dive into.
I still live in his district. I contacted his office about this situation. I can play you the voicemail I got.
Yeah, play it right up to the.
Give me a second.
We're all going to jail.
I don't give a shit.
Maybe you are. I don't live here.
Oh, you're guilty by association now. Was that your bedtime monitor?
Yep. It says it's set for 10:45 or 49 or something.
What time is it?
9:49.
Okay, I got it.
Good morning, Allison. I'm calling from Congressman Josh Brakeen's office. Just wanted to give you a call back as we got in your message that you ran into us with your comments regarding the asphalt plant on Highway 51. I just wanted to let you know that I have passed your message along to Congressman Brakeen, and he will use your input. Should any relevant legislation pertaining to this matter come to the floor of the House of Representatives for a vote, please feel free to reach out again to our office if you have any further questions or concerns. Thank you and have a good day.
Well, in my opinion, that sounds very generic and
avoidance. Mm-hmm.
And so I had one of his field representatives on the podcast, and the biggest thing that they said that drives their politics, and he said this on the podcast, was I have the Bible as a blinder on one side and the Constitution as a blinder on the other, and they filter everything through that lens. And so hearing a response like that, like if you're going to be biblical and you're for the people without money, how does that even come close to some?
They got the George Washingtons on this side and the Ben Franklins on this side.
They're both. So that's interesting to actually hear that live and to have somebody on the podcast that was it was actually a great podcast.
It was a great episode.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah,
like he
of
was
course.
Very good. Well, like it was great. But to hear like the core of what they're behind and doing, and they're get out there, I'm spitting on my gum. But to hear like what they're doing or the reason and purpose behind what they're doing, which is kind of the purpose of any of my podcast episodes. I want to find out why people are doing things and why it's so important to them. And so what he said was great. And to hear the result of a real community problem that is happening and absolutely nothing's being done.
Yeah.
You know, so then how does there any trust anywhere in these people that are saying things and people, in my opinion, people just hide behind the fucking Bible. They just hide behind it to get votes. And it, I mean,
but
come
that's
on.
How it is. In
if you like,
we're the most Republican. We're the most Republican state in the entire union. This is part of the problem. Like,
wait, we're the most Republican state in the entire
yes,
union.
Yes, we are one of the most conservative.
Oklahoma is the only state in the last election that every single county voted red.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
I'm 100% for it.
All right. I ain't never leaving.
So to hear the conversations you had with the field organizer and stuff on the pod, and then to get that response, like you said, it's
contradictory.
I'm not gonna. I won't sugar. It's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, that's you know you talk you know you say all the pleasantries on this side,
right?
And then what you actually do is something far less impressive.
Yeah. So I just like I said, I have low expectations right now. I don't. You know, I just don't know. I'm holding out a little hope. I think somewhere in me is like, keep going, keep fighting, keep doing what you're doing, like you're doing the right things. But I just.
I think you're still early enough in this process that
I agree.
You haven't started to lose yet.
Right. I think you're still in neutral territory.
You're nowhere right,
right.
now.
Right. Yeah. And but being nowhere is better lose. Than being like
right.
lost.
You know, that would be I really hope I can get him on the podcast and really bring that up, you know. Maybe you should reach out instead of saying like you're doing this to the community and stuff like that. Like, hey, I thought you were a man of the Bible. Might trigger some different things.
Well, I just thought you were a man of your word.
He's a politician.
But well, I mean,
but,
you're right.
But even
this
that,
is...
I wouldn't necessarily like, oh, you're a man of the Bible or you're, you know.
But
you can bring it up as like, hey, you know, you're part of this community. You should want what's best for it. Mm-hmm. Make sure that what is happening is best for the community.
I'm still his constituent, whether I voted for him or not. And the other thing is I am done with these people that we elect running all over us. I'm so done. I'm over it. I've reached the point of caring anymore about hurting people's feelings because people are suffering. We have done nothing in this country to progress anything in the last 4 years. You know, it's like... I don't want to get off on.
So
I don't want to get on a soapbox, but I'm just saying. I'm just.
We've done
I'm
nothing just, as a country the last 4 years, like in the U.S. Did you vote?
I did. I voted for Joe Biden because I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like anything about him or anything he stands for. That's my personal opinion. I think he's dangerous for this country, but we'll leave it at that.
Here's what I'm very not.
But I don't like Joe Biden either. Let me make that very clear. I don't like him either.
Not very many people do.
But at least you're allowed. At least you're willing to say it.
No, I will say it. I will absolutely say it. I don't like him. I don't think he's done anything.
We just as a country, we just have terrible options.
I'm tired of us defending Israel. I'm done. I'm just. I've reached the doneness limit, and I'm just there.
So, do you cover any politics on, like, I know you said you're not really political, like, do you cover politics or anything like that, or because I feel like as you start monetizing an audience, this will be your main source of income.
Strictly murder.
Well,
that's where they go wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, where they go wrong with what? How so?
Making everything political?
Yeah, I mean, look at...
Well, I mean, being political as is literally something that just sets... community on fire. Like people start clicking, like you get views and stuff from like posting political things.
But look at your mainstream media. It's just dying because of what it's done politically.
Oh yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. What I'm saying though is like, do you cover anything political just doing this podcast right now? I'm not a political person whatsoever, but when I put in the description that we talked about political stuff, thousands of downloads.
See, it's interesting, though, because when I was at the Daily Press, you could see those numbers, those clicks, and it's crime.
Mm-hmm.
All day, crime. And
so is politics.
But that's the truth.
Yep.
I notice when it's, you know, community politics, city politics, those will get clicks. But anything national, really,
I think a lot of people have tuned out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I think...
They don't know what to believe. They don't have to believe anything.
Well, and I think part of it is because everything is so skewed one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, I've yet to read one of your articles, but what you say.
Oh yeah, we pulled one up. I was but
how you report them? You report just the facts. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened. Here's when it happened, and here's the result. Mm-hmm. If I think there's a place, especially in news reporting, for that on a political side. You don't take a stance. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened. Here's when it happened. Here's who said what. It's not, don't spin it to we cut out this section of
presenting both sides of that argument. Right. Yeah.
Present both sides, and you don't cut out everything that led up to this one statement, and they're like, oh, well, he said this, and it goes on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Democrat, Republican, like, oh, you cut out all the context, and, you know, if you can provide an honest answer and people, you know, like your reporting because it's honest and reliable, I think there's a market for that, whether you want to get into politics or not.
That's what I was just fixing to say. There's a market space for just somebody being honest.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's so hard to decipher now. Well, I don't watch any of
this. And
again,
that's all personal relationship with people like you because of how you report. Mm-hmm. Well, if you say something, and that's where you have, you know, once you start doing that, you have to take some responsibility, because a lot of people used to watch, you know, all these different mainstream news sources, and they took at what they saw was what actually is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't see it as there's a skew. They say, oh, well, you know, Fox said it or CNN said it or whatever. So that's exactly what happened. That's exactly the context of it. Mm-hmm. There was a time when that was a reliable way to think, mm-hmm. because you got facts. You didn't get
opinions.
I have completely stopped getting like national news from American mm-hmm. run news sites anymore. Like,
it's so hard to follow any of it. I just don't even give a shit anymore. I feel like everything is just so polluted with someone's fucking agenda. I was like, I just don't even fucking care anymore.
It is, but there are some that are better than others. There are some that are better than others.
Like, yeah, like, I don't care. I haven't paid taxes in 4 years, so I don't care how many fucking tax breaks you're going to get me. Yeah, or whatever. You know, yeah, like, I just don't care anymore. I don't care. That's it. I'm just trying to make sure I can have an erection after 45.
Oh, my God.
If you don't, fuck, do something else.
Don't do something else.
The only thing I'm fucking is stupid.
I'm sorry, Goose.
He's not even here to defend himself.
I know.
He hasn't been here any of the times to defend himself yet.
Tomorrow is his day. Tomorrow is his day.
Is it tomorrow?
Well, I want to do one tomorrow.
Oh, Lord.
Get him on.
I gotta work all day tomorrow, man.
Not you. I want your husband here.
Well, he won't come without me.
Good boy.
All right. Yeah, he will.
Well,
he probably already did since you're here. You know, at home, just came without you.
Well, but whatever happens at home stays at home.
playing a little 5-on-1.
Oh God!
I've never heard that. I feel like I should have heard that before.
You've done it. Whether you've heard it or not, you've done it. So.
Oh yeah, just firing knuckle children all over the house.
Oh God.
Anyways, so back on topic here. So, like, what I'm generally kind of curious about is how did you get your following to your page? You said you're at 10,000 followers now, right? Is that right?
His record page.
Well, you. No, you.
Me?
So you had 10,000, right?
Yeah.
What do you have?
8.7.
8.7.
Okay, so you're right on the way. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to get that?
A year.
Less time than it took me.
A year?
Yeah, I was going to say it took me like 7. I think I'm at, like 10.5 on my business page.
I don't update my social media, but that on took my me, business page.
You know how hard it is to get people to follow you for selling trucks? Like, what else do I have to post about?
His is memes. For his, every single day it's a meme.
Yeah.
So that's what he's known for. And then
I got memes followed by crashes, followed by...
That's a man after my own heart right there.
This guy...
My love language is memes.
It is.
So I was actually talking to one of my friends about this. I was like, you know, one of my best friends. Like, we literally communicate when we're not in person by Tom sending me memes.
Yeah, there's very few actual words exchanged.
And
I have a friendship like this also.
I was like, look at this. So I opened up my Instagram page where he sent me the memes. I started just scrolling thousands and thousands. Just scrolling and scrolling of memes that Tom sent to me. Then he gets one back.
Mine's not memes. It's stupid t-shirts I see. Like Facebook ads.
Okay.
Or just like a weird random something somewhere. I'll see it if it's like a stupid t-shirt.
Devin, so as having a following, like your Facebook following, wherever you have your followers at, has that helped your business?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And one of the biggest challenges is I had a lady early on tell me that I was her daughter's favorite Facebook page and her daughter was 8. So I've made it a point to keep it clean at the same time.
She loves the carnage of all the wrecks.
That's sometimes a challenge.
So, but
yeah, it definitely helps.
In which way has it helped? Because we were actually talking about on a previous podcast about their social media, and not that you guys were against it, but didn't show a lot of importance to it. And I'm an advocate in the direction of the more following that you can get on social media. And I'm not a social media person.
I think Shayna's better at it than I am. I don't like it. That's just personal, though. Like,
man, your name out there in people's face nonstop is, you can't, and it's free. You can't pay for that.
I know,
man,
it's
know.
Completely
I just,
free.
So, I came across a little.
It's
wounded,
just not my thing, man.
I came across a little wounded dog out in the county recently, mm-hmm. and I posted her all over Facebook. She's a beautiful little cocker spaniel. She was in very, very bad condition when I came across her, and now everybody and her dog is blowing me up. Hey, man, I saw you and that dog on Facebook, and you are my record guy from now on. You know, it's shit like that.
Yeah. It's little stuff like that. People can relate to you of their love for an animal or something like that.
I got people that
and
call,
now it's, you know.
We call her Allie, but on my Facebook page, I call her Big Al because she's cute as can be. I got people that will call me and just ask me how Big Al is. You know, it's like,
oh my gosh.
People I don't even know.
So I'm
know,
telling you.
It's
and,
amazing.
And like just having any type of following at all is where – that's how you stay in business, because the people that go out of business are because they're not top of mind when shit hits the fan. So when the shit hits the fan, no matter which I feel like is going to happen in whatever election thing is going to happen, you know, when people start, you know, mess with my cameras.
Come on, come get some. Come on for that.
Yeah, scoot it up.
I'm ready. I'm ready for my close up.
That was a good one. But suddenly everybody is your friend and you are everybody's friend.
Everybody thinks they know you when
it's
they meet
the greatest,
you. But
the
you know, like when people start going out of business, you being in their phone of somebody that follows, especially if you're local, then like you get the business. I get so many people driving across the country to buy trucks from me because they've seen reels that I did, which I don't know if you've seen the old reels that I used to do. Which I thought they were fucking hilarious.
To the right crowd, they certainly are.
Yeah. No, shoot. Someone watch one and tell me I'm not fucking funny. Tell me.
Well, I will. I will watch one and then I will tell you.
Oh, yeah. Pull one up.
Not right now.
Yeah. Well, Shannon will do it.
Pick the one that's your favorite.
But what I'm saying, like, it's a big part of it, and it feels, because I hate social media. Like, I've literally, if you look at my Instagram or Facebook, I follow zero people. Mm-hmm. I don't even follow Shayna. I literally only, like, okay.
I just.
Well, by default, because of that argument right there.
And, like, you know, I try to keep my personal life personal, too.
I love that.
Oh my! Yeah, you love it, man. You post anything with a dog, it gets
oh,
huge.
Shut up! She is so beautiful. Are you keeping her?
Oh yeah, she won't go with anyone else.
I love it.
She was in such sad shape when
I hate that.
She's like inches away from.
Will people probably dump her out there?
So,
no, everybody seems to love Big Al.
But I hate posting on social media. I'm not a public person at all. But my theory behind it was, if I can get a following of doing stuff, then when I actually post something serious that I'm going to monetize and make me money, everybody sees it. And I was completely right. Mm-hmm. So I made these stupid videos, you know, and I get this following of people, and then I post a truck for sale, and then it hits 10,000 people see that. Mm-hmm. Like,
tell them about your biggest.
You know, it's stupid. I did put so much work into, you know, making these funny videos or whatever, and I had a few posts go viral. And all I did was I made a meme, and it showed like this old NASA photo where they looked like they were celebrating something, like jumping and high-fiving and stuff. And it just said the bank, like how the bank reacts when you accept their 21% interest loan.
That's it. Page.
Yeah, dude, I got like 20 million views on that.
What? Shit.
Yeah, I was like, damn. Then, thank you. NASA yeah, they were like, yeah, like fucking hugging and stuff.
The picture of we landed on the moon is the same as the bank celebrating your high end.
Yeah, that one right there. That was it. That was it.
Yeah.
I'm positive.
Yeah.
If you made that,
yeah.
I
can
use that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, put that in front of the camera. Put that in front of the camera. We're out here. I'm on. I'm switching. Well, nope. There we go. Can't really see it.
Uh-oh. Let me see if I can get to focus a little bit better.
Oh no. Yeah, it was almost 20. It was like 19.5 million.
You can see the picture. Even you know, you can read the text. We can announce the text.
I still to this day do not have any of my notifications on any social media because of that post. Because I got thousands and thousands and thousands of just DMs from people in fucking Africa just saying, hey. Like, or just like the most random.
See, that's why.
Wait, is it a Nigerian prince that needs your bank account information so he can get his money out of?
I am that
that's
Nigerian
why Goose,
prince.
That's why Goose is so private, because people from Afghanistan have found him.
No shit.
Yes.
Really?
He'll have to talk to you guys about that.
But what's your perspective on that? Like found like the from best, when he was.
Everybody knows the best way to stay hidden is to broadcast it on a podcast.
Well, he's retired now, but. Yeah, he for a really long time he's been really hesitant about social media and stuff like that because of him serving, and like it's happened before. Someone from Afghanistan has found him. So like that's kind of why we're
What did this person from Afghanistan say?
No, I have no idea. I didn't ask. Yeah. But that's why he doesn't
unless it was a hey, thanks for your effort. Yeah, which is probably not.
Probably not. But yeah, he.
Better fuck you, motherfucker.
Not something we talk about often. But that's why he's super private and doesn't really post anything or do much.
Well,
in the
so what I was kind of alluding to all this, the following thing. So, like, how have you learned about this from kind of like what I said? And, like, how do you monetize now? And you said you just started. Making yours like a business page to where you can start monetizing. Have you received any money from what you're doing, or what have you done to get followers? I guess I'm basically asking you to explain to me like
how you do,
because you're like you're a completely social media person. Like that's becoming your career. Mm-hmm. Well, not career, but like that's going to be a huge platform for you to use. Mm-hmm. So how do you utilize that, and what are the benefits for anybody in business to get a follow? It's very hard to get just over 1,000 followers for most people. Mm-hmm. And I know, and like we listen to reels and stuff of people that, you know, have millions and millions of followers, but people like us, you know, where we're like actually trying to get out there and get things. And for you to get almost 10,000 followers in a very small amount of time, you know, how did you get that and snowball it to where it's going now?
A lot of it, I think, had to do whenever I left the newspaper. Because they didn't replace me when I left. And.
Ooh. Irreplaceable.
just couldn't be done.
They didn't have the money.
Did you leave like, you're going to regret this?
Who's coming with me?
I'm not going to do what everyone thinks I'm going to do. Freak out. All I want to know, who's coming with me?
I don't know. I really honestly don't know what the hell I'm doing half the time.
Hell yeah. A true entrepreneur. True entrepreneur.
I'm not going to lie.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I'm doing it really well.
I mean, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't gotten paid yet.
We're manifesting that you're getting paid this year at some point. So we are I'm willing it to happen.
So, like, I make money on social media, just like, and I don't even post the reels that I used to post anymore. And just like when I post things, like Facebook just sends me money. Like, what?
I think I'm doing it wrong then.
Facebook ain't
sending. Dude, for whatever reason, I have a huge following on Facebook. All my followings on Facebook, but when I just get money, like when I post stuff and analyze it, and they just send me money. It's not a lot. I mean, I make a few hundred bucks a month. You know. But
well, this is where you got
to
stop.
But like, if I were to really like lean into it, like I could really like do it. I mean, we almost have the same amount of followers.
This is where you have to stop reporting facts. there's no place on Facebook for facts.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird because a few months ago I was in Walmart and it was right before it snowed, and I just took pictures of the shelves being empty. And I posted that, and that reached over 140,000 people.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have my Facebook set up
to get the money. So, like, if you were to make that, like, in a video format, even if it's a picture, but make it to a video format where, like, it zooms
out. Is that why Facebook keeps telling me to
make it a reel?
A reel?
They're trying to give you money. And you're like... No.
I ain't got time for that.
I want your dirty money.
But, like, I feel... So is yours, like, an actual business page, or is it a personal page?
No, it's a business page. Like,
through the Meta Suite?
Again, I don't know
so
what the fuck I'm doing.
Do you post on your personal page what you post on your business page, too?
No, because... So that's the thing with being a journalist is if you put, like, who you are personally out there, then I feel like someone's going to say
target.
That. Yes. Well, or biased again, if I report on
anything
right. Really.
Yeah. Well, you really got to lean into that because, like I made this podcast and everybody hates me and I love that, you know, and there's like,
you,
well,
you know?
In like, well, I had the same dilemma. So like being in business and like doing this stuff now, I'd say a lot of controversial things. Anybody mm-hmm. can say anything they want on here. But if you are trying to create a business and keep your personal life separate from, especially on social media, mm-hmm. you lose a lot of authenticity because it's like, are you scared to share your own things?
She's trying to stick to the facts. She's trying to stick to facts, not, you know, if she starts posting who she voted for or whatever, anything related to that could be potentially showing a bias.
Yes.
If you keep it to purely facts.
Well, I mean, like, whatever you post on your page, just, like, share it to yours. And you need to make your own. No, I'm sorry. You don't need to do anything. But so, like, what I do, I'm a content creator on Facebook, okay? So I get paid from my business page and from my personal page. So anything I ever post on my personal page, I just get money for it from when I'm already making money on the post I made on Facebook. So it's sort of just like a few clicks. What I'm saying is if you post something on your business page and if you were to just share that same post on your personal page, just mm-hmm. sharing it, you get money from both avenues.
I'm going to pick on Allison for a minute,
oh,
though.
No.
But I post Trump shit on my personal page, but if I posted that on my record page, Allison's going to break down and she's going to be like, fuck that motherfucker and fuck Trump.
Well, actually.
You know what I'm saying? Not to that degree, but I was about to say, like, if she posted, you know, things as passionately about, like, you feel about the new plant going in.
Yeah.
Any reporting you do on it is going to be skewed as biased
yes.
because
of
you, course
know,
you have such a
yeah.
but
yeah.
you know if you're such you know if you put yourself out there as an advocate of I don't want this to happen
sure yeah
whether you're giving facts or not mm-hmm. somebody's gonna say you're biased against it you're skewing the information mm-hmm. to show
somebody's always gonna say
and that
yeah. I guarantee you right now somebody's already saying that about you right now.
I used to be afraid of what I posted and what I said because I didn't want to be, you know, canceled or seen as intolerant or X, Y, and Z. But
nobody's ever been canceled.
But
like,
no.
At the end of the day, like,
no.
Who really cares? Because
no,
we're literally all going to fucking die.
Well, that too.
But yeah. you're right, though.
Nobody's ever been canceled. It just shifts your mm-hmm. demographic. It shifts who your friends
yeah.
are. It shifts. You haven't been canceled.
Yeah.
You know,
I suppose.
Right.
I suppose that, you know, I've got quite a few conservative clients too, and I don't want them to think that I'm the atypical liberal that they see in the media, because that's not it at all. I would say that you would put me in a room full of, let's say, you know, a bunch of liberals from super liberal states, I would be the most conservative one of the room.
Well, I think because we were talking on being a liberal previous podcast, you were saying that you're very liberal on social issues and very conservative on business issues.
Yeah.
And I would agree with all that. Yeah. I think, like, there's not much as far as social issues that I would I think fucking healthcare should be free. Mm-hmm. As a diabetic, someone has to go to a doctor. Like, I understand that. Absolutely. But I also understand that that can't just happen.
Yeah, I think college should be cheaper.
It gets paid for some way.
It does get paid some way.
I'm willing.
It's not free. It comes out of more tax and more.
I'm willing to pay more taxes if I get things in return. But I am not a fan of paying taxes and receiving nothing in return. Like, the roads here are trash. You know.
That's a
state tax issue. Like, Oklahoma has a regressive state income tax, so we pay less in taxes every year to the state, and so the state has less money to work with. Yeah. It's like, it just doesn't make any sense, just to me anyway.
Well, 100%. I haven't paid taxes in a long time, so.
Knock, knock, knock. It's the IRS.
Come and get me, motherfuckers. What are you going to do? I just abide by the laws you make.
Yeah. Oh, because there's no federal income tax law.
Well, I mean, even if there was, I wouldn't pay it. I'm an outlaw, baby.
Next.
That record money ain't going to Ukraine.
Yeah, man. I ain't paying for that shit.
I got my tax return back, and I owe Ukraine $3,000.
We could be using that money for so much more. Like, our education system is broken. I could go on.
There's a lot that needs to be done here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but before we send money elsewhere.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
There was an estimate that, you know, it would take $20 billion to end homelessness across the U.S. Well, we've sent $165 billion out of the U.S.
Yeah.
Like, how about we address a couple things here?
That's where my problem is coming from, is we're just spending on everyone else and not taking care of the people that are here, like veterans, for instance. Like, that's the largest homeless population in this country are veterans, people who gave their lives for this country, and we treat them horribly.
I find it strange that a country that is trillions of dollars in debt is going to give me a credit score.
For real.
Like, what the fuck's that about?
For real.
What are you going to do with the money if I actually paid you back?
Give it to someone else.
Well, and we can get into this a little bit, but that's not really where this whole conversation has gone. But, you know, there is, you know, this new trend towards this, like, modern monetary theory where they say that you know, the inflation doesn't matter because we can just keep printing money to do, you know, whatever. So it,
how does that work? Because the dollar is worthless.
But they just keep printing more and doing more.
Right.
And it's...
They'll just crash it so that we have to go to a whole new...
Well, and so, but under that hey, that theory...
Pet my dog so he'll shut up.
under that theory... You know, they don't need your tax dollars. So it's not about them needing tax dollars like you used to be. We're like, hey, your taxes go to fixing roads and do whatever. It's not about them needing more. It's about you having less.
Absolutely.
So it's if they don't need your money because they can keep printing like they've shown that they can do and are very willing to do, they don't need your tax money. It's about you not having the money to spend on things.
Well, they want to pull our focus away from what's going on in Washington, so we're so dire and focused on what's happening at home that they can do all the things that they're doing right now.
Yeah, look over here. Pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. It's a distraction.
Yell at your neighbor. Yell at your neighbor so that you know you don't. Yeah. You know, you don't see us.
Mm-hmm. You were holding your hand up right there, and Baker's just looking at you. All
poor
right, guys.
Bake.
Well, I've had a great time tonight, guys, but we are wrapping up on time, and you know, I want to. From you guys specifically, especially being a married entrepreneurial couple, what would you say to anybody that, let's say 16 years ago for you, that's really wanting to lean in, that feels the call to be an entrepreneur and have the freedom of being able to make your own schedule and balancing that with a successful marriage? You know, that's a very compounded question, but, you know, talk about that for a second before we close up.
I'll have you go first.
Man, All I can say is you just got to do what you do, man. Just.
Well, I mean, you know, you do what you do, you know, but there's a lot of, you know, like to quote Mike Tyson, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. And, you know, you've been punched in the face a lot in any business from whatever you decide to do. How did you handle that and manage 16 years of being in business and still be here today and happy and there, still some hair on your head?
There has to, not much hair on my head, but there has to be.
It's still there.
There has to be something inside you that says that either you can do this or you can't. And you've got to listen to that. And, you know, you know you can do it. You just got to find that way. It's there. But it's just all comes from a feeling inside you, is all I can say.
That's so true. I mean, yeah, 100%. And I would say to that, when you feel that feeling inside of you, stop being a bitch.
Exactly.
Don't and just do it, because it's not easy. It's not easy. And what about you?
One other small piece of advice is that, man, there is a million things that you can do to make a friggin' dollar. So if you can't do it this way, there's a million more that you can do. Just figure it out.
Snaps
for that.
Snaps.
Pivot.
Oh, I was just
and what does the wife have to say about that?
I'm just going to bring back, if it don't fuck, do something else.
If it don't fuck, do something else.
That is the official catchphrase for this podcast.
I'm going to make an acronym for that. So, yeah, what do you have to say to that? Especially since it sounds like you're, like really in that area where people would quit, you know,
mm-hmm.
from like if you're not receiving any money or whatever, and I'm sure you're stable in whatever way, but still, you know, you have to feel like you're adding value to really even pursue anything, you know. You know what I mean? So like, well, what would you recommend to somebody who's actually feeling that thing and to push through that bullshit of what you're feeling? Instead of just collapsing and getting a job, like what really drove you to do it?
I would say having him as my biggest supporter.
Well, I want to talk about you. Outside of that, because I mean, absolutely, you know, the couple thing. But mm-hmm. at some point, there has to be a switch that just flips in your head, where like, you know what, I'm not doing anything else. This is what I'm leaning into,
mm-hmm.
and this is what I want to do. And I'm not going to be the person that my husband's going to want me to be unless I absolutely do this.
Right.
You know.
I mean, just seeing the numbers on Facebook and everything of me growing, and
you know, you're making a difference.
I feel like I'm being a voice for people who yeah. don't have that platform, mm-hmm. And knowing that there's so many people that trust me to give out that information the way that I do, I'd say that's the biggest thing.
Awesome, awesome. Shout out your page again, and how can people follow you and find you?
We are at TahlequahNews.com. We are on Facebook, X, and we post stuff on my LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. And you have a big following too, Mr. Devin. How can people find you?
Cherokee County Record Service on Facebook. If you ain't following us, you ain't following nobody.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I expect you to share all my shit now. Guys, this is the Diesel Daddy Podcast, and we are out. Bye.
Bye.